Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the Holy Spirit teaching us and guiding us into all the truth. And I pray that you would give me utterance to speak and to share, Lord, what you have ordained that is to be shared tonight. In Jesus' name, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you that your word will not return void. And I thank you, Lord, that the planting of the seed of your word is not in vain, but I thank you that it will bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to go back to the book of Hebrews again tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read a few verses here. In Hebrews 11:30, it says, by faith, the walls of... Do we have those? There we go. What's not going up on the back? I don't know if there's a way to get that or not. There we go. Now we got it. Okay, thank you, Mike. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And so this was our main text passage that we read last week, and we're calling this series The Power and the Operation of Faith. And this is part two of that, The Power and the Operation of Faith. And so the entire chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, you probably are familiar with it. The writer of Hebrews is talking, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is the divine author, right? Amen. He's talking about the power of faith. He's talking about what faith can do. And he talks about what can happen to an individual and for an individual and through an individual that chooses to believe God and chooses to take God at his word. Praise God. So let's look at the list of what he says here of what faith can do just in these verses we read. First of all, he says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. So number one, faith can bring down walls. Faith can bring down walls. Amen. And then the next verse says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe. Those who did not believe perished. But those who did believe, they didn't perish. Rahab believed. Amen. It was Rahab's faith that preserved her. But we understand that faith was an act, wasn't it? What did the Bible says that she did not perish when she had received the spies with peace. And so when the spies came in, the second time around, first time around, the 12 spies went into the land of Canaan, you know, and brought back ten of them brought back an evil report. And then 40 years later, after that generation died out in the wilderness because of their unbelief, Joshua sends in another group of spies, and they go into Jericho and they encounter Rahab, and Rahab hides them. And she says, I know that, you know, that God's given you this land, and the fear. And basically she said, what took you so long? We've been waiting 40 years on y'all to get here. We thought you were coming back then. We were afraid of you then. And they said, wait, what? You were afraid of us? We were afraid of y'all. But anyway, she knew that God had given them the land, and so she received them, and she hid them and sent them away with peace. And she said, I want you to promise me something. When you come back in to take the land, promise me that you'll protect me and you'll keep me safe. And they gave her a scarlet cord, and they said, hang this in the window, and that way that'll be a sign that we'll know not to destroy your house and your household when we come in and take the city. And that is a symbol and a type of the blood of Jesus. When we apply the blood, we are divinely protected. Praise God. I believe that. I know that. Amen. Praise God. And so faith, point number two, then faith can give divine protection in very dangerous situations. It was very dangerous to live in the city of Jericho during the time of Rahab. In fact, her house, the Bible says, her house was on the city wall. And when those walls fell, all of the walls, every part of the wall fell except where Rahab's house was. Her house survived. Praise God. All right. And then the third thing is, and this is what I really want to zero in on tonight. Is this. Faith can cause you to obtain promises. Notice it says in verse 33, if we'll pull that one up again, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And so look in the middle of that. It says through faith they obtained promises. They obtained promises. It's pretty good to subdue a kingdom and work righteousness and stop the mouths of lions. But it's also good to obtain promises. Amen. So we're gonna zero in on that one tonight. Faith obtains promises. Praise God. So I looked up the word obtain in the dictionary. It means this. It means to succeed in gaining possession. To succeed in gaining possession of as the result of planning or endeavor. To succeed in gaining possession of as the result of planning or endeavor. Well, in this case, the planning and the endeavor is faith. Amen. And to obtain the promises of God, it says by faith they obtain promises. To obtain the promise means to succeed in gaining possession of that promise. Amen. When we obtain a promise, it means we've gained possession of it. It's no longer in the unseen realm, but it's now come into the seen realm. Amen. In fact, in the very first verse of Hebrews 11 that we'll look at, talks about that. It says that faith, now faith is the substance. Do we have that one, Mike? Hebrews 11, 1. Or did I skip that? Okay, good. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things what? Not seen. Faith is our evidence of what we can't see in the natural. My faith, your faith, is the evidence that it's yours, that it belongs to you. But faith also reaches into the unseen realm. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith reaches into the unseen realm. It lays hold of the promise and it brings it into the seen realm. Amen. Let me say that again. Faith reaches into the unseen realm, lays hold of the promise of God, and brings it into the seen realm. Faith is my evidence that what is unseen, I have. Amen. Faith is not, oh, well, maybe I'll get it sometime, or, oh, well, in the future. Faith says, I have it now. Even when I can't see it, faith says, I have it now. Amen. Do you have eternal life now? Well, Jesus says we do. The Bible says we do. That we've passed from John. 1 John says that when we believe, we pass from death into life. We have eternal life now. Amen. We don't see the fullness of that right now, but we know by faith we have it. Amen. Praise God. All right. So let's look at, though, Hebrews 11 here. Also, there's a few verses. There's a passage in here in Hebrews 11 that shows us what the process is of obtaining a promise. We're going to look at the process of how we obtain a promise. So let's go to verse 13 of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. So I want to look at this on the surface of it and then apply the principles to more of what we're talking about tonight. But notice what he says, these all died in faith. You know, Dad Hagin always used to say it takes faith to die. Of course, he was big on teaching us and teaching everyone how to use your faith to live, how to use your faith to be healed, how to use your faith to, you know, to walk free from disease and sickness and to walk in divine protection. So, yeah, it takes faith to live, but he said, you know, it takes faith to die. Amen. And it does. You know, think about that. You know, the Bible, we've taught on before faith in the last days, and our text was Luke 18, I believe it is, where Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, what? Will he find faith in the earth? Okay. So we ask the question, will Jesus find us in faith when he comes back? Or we could say it this way, when you go, if Jesus tarries his coming, and you go to meet him before he comes back, you know, that's the other way to see Jesus, right? Amen. Okay. So when we go to him, will he say of us that we died in faith? Were we still in faith? Amen. I pray that he will. Amen. And the Amplified Bible here says this, these all died in faith. The Amplified says controlled and sustained by their faith. Controlled and sustained by their faith. In other words, they lived their life controlled by their faith. They made decisions based on faith. They set the course of their life based on faith, based on the promises of God, and based on their pursuit of the promises that God had given them. They were controlled by faith, and that faith also sustained them. Well, I want to recommend to all of us tonight, that's a good way to live. Controlled by faith and sustained by faith. We see in our time a lot of folks controlled by fear, don't we? But we can be controlled by faith. Amen. We can be guided by faith. We can be sustained by our faith. Amen. But look at this. So it says, think about this. They died in faith. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So he's talking about here something that was so big, the purpose of God that was being worked out through them. It said these all. He's talking about Abraham, and he's talking about the people that he mentioned before here in the book of Hebrews. He talks about Noah. He talks about Abraham. He talks about others here, and they were working on a project that was multi-generational. Amen. When God called Abraham, God made it very clear. He said, "Look, what I'm going to do with you, and what I'm going to do through you, is going to be much bigger than what you can accomplish in your generation." It's going to take your seed and your seed's seed, and it's going to take multiple generations to accomplish this plan and this purpose. Right? Amen? And so that's what he's talking about here. These folks were in on something. And what that was, what that plan and purpose was to bring about the redemption of mankind. Because when God called Abraham, he said, "I'm going to bless you, and in you and in your seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed." Well, we know the fulfillment of that was the coming of Jesus. You know, Jesus coming into the earth made it possible for all the nations to be blessed. Amen? Praise God. And so that's why God called Abraham. That's why God called Noah to do what he did. Amen. To build the ark. What was that all about? It was about the preservation of the godly line, of the righteous line. Noah building the ark and being preserved in the flood was all about the preservation of the righteous line, because the earth had become so corrupt with sin and with evil, that God had no choice but to bring judgment. But yet if he was to bring judgment on everybody and that whole, wipe out the whole thing, then the righteous line would have been cut off. And God had way back in the Garden of Eden, God had said to the serpent, he said, I'm going to send the seed of the woman and he's going to crush your head. God had prophesied a redeemer, a savior would come. And so that righteous line had to be preserved. And so that's what Noah was all about. And then he calls Abraham and Isaac and Jacob become heir of that same promise. And they all died in faith. They didn't obtain the fulfillment of that promise. Had not come to pass yet. Jesus had not yet come. But they each one had a part to play in their generation and in their time of staying in faith, of believing the promise of God, of walking in faith and doing that throughout their generation and handing it off to the next generation. Amen. Praise God. To keep that chain of faith going. Praise God. And so I hope that today we're living for something bigger than ourselves. Amen. I hope today that we're living for something bigger than, oh God, just protect me and just bless my family. I hope we're living for something bigger than that. I hope our eyes have been opened, and I believe they have. I know all of you in here that our eyes have been opened to see that God has a plan of a great harvest here at the end of the age to gather in. Jesus is coming back. Amen. And so we're part of that. We're part of this same plan. It's our turn now. It's our time now. And God's calling us to live in faith and to walk in faith and not just to believe the promises for our own personal well-being and safety and protection, but to believe His promises for our generation of what He wants to do in the earth in this day. Amen. He needs somebody to believe Him for that. He needs somebody to stand in faith for that. Amen. We get to be a part of that. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. But we can also see these principles that he talks about here that they do apply for our daily walk of faith as well. And that's important. God's interested in both. He's interested in taking care of you. He's interested in blessing you. He's interested in protecting and keeping your family and providing for you and keeping you well and healed. He's interested in all of that. Amen? So we can apply these principles for these daily things in our walk of faith as well as the big overall picture. So let's look at them tonight. Praise God. Principle number one, it says, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but, look at this now, having seen them afar off. Having seen them afar off. That's the first one. Number one, we have to see the promise afar off. That's where it starts. There's a promise there. There's a promise of God. And maybe when you first heard about healing, or when you first heard about divine protection, or when you first heard that God wanted to supply all of your needs, or God wanted to work and redeem and restore your family, maybe that promise seemed afar off. Maybe that promise seemed like, oh, that looks good and that sounds good, but that just sounds almost too good to be true. That just seems almost impossible. It seemed like it was afar off. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you been there? Amen. Praise God. So that it may seem afar off, but that's where we start. That's where we start. We say, okay, there's a promise there, and I'm gonna start moving toward this promise. It seems like it's afar off, but I'm gonna move toward this promise. Well, God told us in His Word, if we'll draw near to Him, what happened? What'll He do? He'll draw near to us. So that promise may seem afar off, but as we begin going toward it, guess what? God, the promise is coming toward us at the same rate. Amen? Hallelujah. And then the second point is this. Number two, we have to become assured of the promise. We have to become assured of the promise. In verse 13, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. But notice the next phrase, were assured of them. Were assured of them. And that's the next step in this process. We have to become assured of the promise. They became assured of them being them promises. Amen. Praise God. So we have to move from seeing the promise afar off to becoming assured of the promise. That's the process that God takes us through in growing our faith and building our faith. He takes us from seeing a promise afar off to causing us to become assured of that promise. Amen. And the word assured means persuaded. In fact, I looked it up. Every time it was used in the New Testament, it was translated, and all except for this one case, I believe, it was translated persuaded, being confident, and having confidence. Praise God. That's what it means. So we have to move from, okay, there's a promise there, to being confident that, yes, God's going to do that for me. God's going to do that in my time. God's going to do that in my life. Amen. And be assured of that. The Bible talks about Abraham becoming assured of that. In Romans 4, verse 21, it says, and being fully convinced, that's assured, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, he, God, was also able to perform. Abraham became fully convinced of that. He became fully convinced. When God first told him what was going to happen, you know what he did and what Sarah did? They laughed about it, didn't they? really. You know, we're going to have a baby now. But then God said, okay, let me help your faith. I want to, let's go outside. At nighttime, he said, hey, shh, Abraham, shh, come here. And he brought him outside the tent, and he said, it was a clear night. And he said, look up at the stars. And Abraham's, and it was, you know, they had no light pollution like we have. There were no malls and, you know, street lights and all that. It was dark, and so he could see, you know, this millions of stars up there. And God said, see those stars? And Abraham said, yeah, I see them. And he said, that's how many kids you're going to have. That's going to be your descendants. Your descendants are going to be the stars of the heavens. And then he helped him out another time. He said, Abraham, I want you to come down and let's go down by the beach. And so they're walking on the beach, and he says, see this sand and see these grains of sand? And he said, Abraham says, yeah. He says, God says, that's how many children you're going to have. That's your descendants. Your descendants are going to be as the stars of the heavens and as the sand on the seashore. Amen? What is he doing? He's helping his faith, and he's helping Abraham to become fully convinced. Amen. And Abraham became that. He became fully convinced that what God promised, God was able to perform. Abraham realized after a period of time, he moved from the place of, oh, wait a minute, it's not my job to perform this. It's my job to believe what God said. And that's what we have to learn as well in our walk of faith. We have to learn, it's not my job to make this happen. It's my job to believe. It's God's job. I have to be fully convinced and persuaded and assured that what God has promised, God is able to perform. That's what it means when it says they became assured of those promises. They became fully convinced. Abraham became fully convinced that what God promised, God was able to perform. Amen? Praise God. All right. And so we become assured. We become fully convinced that the promise is ours. If it's healing, we move from believing, yes, God can heal, to yes, it's God's will to heal, to God can and will heal me. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood said, after she heard about Jesus, she sat there and she thought about what she had heard about Jesus for a little while. And she said, you know what? If I touch his clothes, I will be healed. Amen. Amen. That promise became real to her. That blessing became real to her. She was able to put herself in there. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, yes, God can heal. Oh, yes, it's God's will to heal. Well, what about me? Isn't that where we stumble sometimes? Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. I've messed up. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know. No, we've got to be able to put ourselves in there. We've got to be able to be like the woman with the issue of blood and say, you know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Praise God. So she became assured. She became fully persuaded. And that, when we become persuaded, when we become assured, that is when we will act. Because think about what she did. She said, you know, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made well. And then she had another thought. If that's true, what am I doing sitting here? And that motivated her. That revelation that dawned on her motivated her to get up and to act and to go where Jesus was and to press through that crowd and touch the hem of his garment. And when she did, she was healed. That act of faith released the power of God into her body. Amen? Praise God. All right. Let's go back and read Hebrews 11:13 again. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That's step number one in the process. We have to see the promise afar off. Were assured of them, so they became assured of them. And then here's the third thing. They embraced them. Everybody say embrace them. They embraced them. So step number three in the process is to embrace the promise. We have to embrace the promise. And literally, we know that embrace means to hold on tightly and warmly and lovingly. That's what an embrace, that describes an embrace, right? To hold on tightly and warmly and lovingly. Doesn't mean just to hold on, but to do so warmly and lovingly. Amen. See, wrestlers may be holding on to each other, but we wouldn't say they're embracing, would we? Right? Not exactly. Well, also, in the abstract, it means this. Embrace means to take an opinion, a policy, or a practice as one's own. To embrace that policy. Well, the Biden administration has embraced a policy of open borders, you know, we could say. We don't agree with that, but that's how that word is used. They have embraced. That means they've made that their policy. Okay? All right? Well, it says here that these people embraced the promise of God. In other words, they made that promise their own. They held on to it warmly, lovingly. They said yes to the promise of God. They said, yes, I'll be a part of this great chain of faith, and I'll believe God in my generation for this great purpose of God to be worked out in the earth. Amen. They made it their own. They said, this is my promise now. It's not just the promise of my granddaddy Abraham, Jacob said, and it's not just the promise of my daddy Isaac. But when he went out on his own, when he left home, he said, if the Lord will protect me and care for me, then the Lord will be my God. He's going to be my God now. And Jacob took his place in the outworking of that great plan and that great purpose. And we can take our place. Amen? We can take our place in it. Praise God. We take the promise of God as our own. Again, bringing it down into the everyday, our everyday walk of faith. We take the promises of God of blessing and protection and provision and healing, and we make it our own. We make it our own. Hallelujah. Make that promise your own. Don't just say Jesus heals. Say Jesus is my healer. With his stripes, I am healed. Amen. We make it our own. Praise God. Also in the dictionary, I looked it up. I saw this. It said embrace implies a ready or happy acceptance. We ought to readily and happily accept the promises of God. We ought to be quick to believe the promises of God. Amen. A ready or happy acceptance. Amen. And then, notice, let's read that verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and what? Confessed. In this case, they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now again, that's focusing on the big plan, the overall plan. That's focusing on the fact that they said, you know, we're living for something that's much bigger than our lifetime here on the earth. We're living for heaven. We're living for eternity. We're living for the salvation of all mankind. Praise God. And they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. And we should too. We are. We are in this world, the Bible says, but we're not of this world. Amen. Praise God. And they confess that. But I want to put it in these terms. What did they confess? They confessed, it says, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they confessed over themselves that they are defined by the promise. That it's the promise of God that defines who I am. It's not this world. It's not my position in this world. It's not my status in this world. It's not my place in this world that defines who I am. What defines who I am is the promise of God. Amen. That's what they confessed, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. In other words, they confessed, I'm defined by this promise. That's who I am. That's who I am. Praise God. Amen. So again, bringing it down to our daily walk of faith. Well, we ought to confess over our lives and let the promise of God define who we are. You are what God says you are. Right? According to the promise that you've seen and been assured of and embraced. Amen. That's why we can say, I am healed. I am healed. Why? Because I've seen a promise. Amen? And I've become assured of that promise. And I've embraced that promise. I've made it my own. We were declaring it this morning in prayer school. And I love it. It's in the health food devotion. And we talked about it a few weeks ago on a Sunday in the message, redeemed from the curse of sickness. According to Deuteronomy 28:61, this sickness, whatever sickness you may be dealing with, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I no longer have that condition. What am I doing? I'm confessing. I'm allowing myself to be defined not by the sickness. Oh, I have, or I am, you know, but I'm allowing myself to be defined by the promise of God. I am redeemed, therefore I no longer have it. Amen? Glory to God. What did Abram, remember his name was Abram at one time, right? When God called him, his name was Abram. But then God says, I'm going to change your name. No longer shall you be called Abram, but from now on your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you. God speaking in the past tense. I have made you. It didn't say I'm going to make you. Well, in the natural, in the seen realm, it hadn't happened yet. But God said, I have made you the father of many nations. So from that day when God spoke to him, Abram began to go around, and when he would introduce himself, he would say, hi, I'm Abraham. I am the father of many nations. He began to say and confess what God said about him, even before it came to pass, even before he could see it. Amen? Praise God. He began to say that. All right, so let's go to Hebrews 6, talking about Abraham. Let's look at this. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, what happened? What? He obtained the promise. He obtained the promise. Glory to God. And we can obtain promises. Through faith, we can obtain promises in this same way. Amen. But we have to do what Abraham did. We have to see that promise afar off. We have to become assured of it. We have to embrace it. And we have to confess and say about ourselves as that promise defines us. We have to say what that promise says about us and let that define us. Abraham began to do that, and he had to hold fast to that. It didn't happen that next day, did it? It took a while, but it came to pass, didn't it? He obtained the promise. Amen. And then the next point, point number five here, is this, and we find that in verse 15. So we'll read verse 15, then I'll point out the promise. Look at this. It says, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." Well, what's that doing in here? Well, it fits in here. If they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. So the point is this. Point number five is this. Don't look back. Don't look back. See, God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees to a land that the Bible says that God would show him. And the Bible says that Abram went out not knowing where he was going. God just said, "I want you to pack up and I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you." And he said, "Where's it at?" And God said, "I'll show you. You'll know when you get there. I'll show it to you. Just go." And he did. He stepped out in faith, not knowing where he was going. He was following God. All right. And not only with his generation, but all the way through, if they had begun to think about, "Oh, well, boy, this is really kind of uncomfortable to have to live in a tent and to have to just pick up and go from place to place." God showed him the land and he said, "I want you to go throughout this land. I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants." And he would move around in that land and he would live in a tent. And Isaac lived in a tent and Jacob lived in a tent, you know. And, they could have thought about, you know, the old homeland. Okay, we didn't have to live in a tent back there. We had an established dwelling back there and we had everything set back there. And we're having to come against these obstacles and this opposition here. We're having to face these, you know, these things here. And if they'd been thinking that way, he would have had opportunity to go back. And what if he'd have done that? What if Abraham had turned back and not fulfilled God's purpose for his life? What if Isaac had turned back and not fulfilled God's purpose for his life? What if Jacob had turned back and not fulfilled God's purpose for his life? You know, where would we be today? There would have been no Savior. There would have been no Redeemer. We would have been lost. Amen? So faith, obtaining promises through faith, requires that we don't look back. And how do we do that? Well, notice it said, "And truly, if they had" what? What's that next phrase? "Called to mind." Called to mind. And so to obtain promises by faith and not look back means we have to control our thoughts. We have to control our thoughts. That's so important that we control our thoughts, that we don't go thinking in a negative path, that we don't go thinking a path that's contrary to the promise of God. You know, the devil will come and bring thoughts and say, "It's not going to happen. It's not going to come to pass. You know, this is not going to happen for you." You know, and show you circumstances and obstacles, and you can get your mind dwelling on that. Instead, if they'd called to mind that country that they'd gone out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But they cut off the opportunity by not thinking about it. Amen. That's one way not to give the devil an opportunity, is not to entertain the thoughts when they come. To cast down, it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Bring every thought into, what does that mean? It means that if there's a thought that comes that's contrary to the promise of God, to the will of God, to what God's planned and spoken to you, then cast that thought down. Don't entertain it. Don't accept it. Amen? Praise God. All right. Again, a great example of this is Peter walking on the water, isn't it? So what happens? We know that the disciples are out on the ship, out on the boat, crossing the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus has sent them to go across to the other side, and a storm comes up, and Jesus comes to them walking on the water. And when they first see him, they think it's a ghost, and they cry out for fear, the Bible says. And Jesus said, "Fear not," and sign. And Peter's not sure about it. He said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water." And so we pick it up in verse 29 there, and it says, Jesus said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, let me just interject that right there. Peter could not have walked on the water unless he had first got out of the boat. Now that ought to answer some things for us right there. Amen. Well, I don't understand why I've not walked. Well, honey, you got to get out of the boat first. You got to get out of the boat first. He couldn't have walked on the water. Lord, I want to walk on the water, but I think I want to do it right here in the boat. No, doesn't work that way. We have to get out of the boat first. Amen. All right. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He was doing it. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. He came down out of the boat and he walked on the water to go to Jesus. We want to give Peter some credit here tonight, because you're going to see him when you get to heaven. And if you've talked bad about him, if all you've talked about is how he sank, if you talked about all you talked about was how he started to drown, if all you talked about was how he denied Jesus, you know, three times before the rooster crowed, if all you talk about is how he cut off the ear of the high priest's servant, if all you talk about is how when they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he starts running his mouth and a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved son, would you shut up and listen to him?" If we just talk about all of Peter's mistakes, he might be upset with us when we get to heaven. I want to point out some of the great things Peter did. Amen. All right. Peter walked on the water, folks. He did it. He's the only human being that ever did that. Amen. Besides the God-man, Jesus. But Peter was just a regular old human like us, and he walked on the water. He did. All right. So he walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. So what happened? He looked back. He got his eyes off of Jesus. And who is Jesus? He's the Word of God, right? So what happens in our case? We can be walking on the water. We can be in the middle of our miracle. We can be in the middle of God sustaining us supernaturally. And what can happen in the midst of that is that we can all of a sudden realize, hey, what am I doing? I'm not supposed to be able to do this. It's like the bumblebee. It's scientifically, engineering-wise, Fred's an engineer here. He can testify. He worked at NASA. You know, he put things up into the air. It's impossible for bumblebees to fly, right? Based on their body size and their wing size and all of that, it's impossible for them to fly. But thankfully, no one's ever informed the bumblebee that he can't fly. And so he just flies. Amen? And so Peter, the circumstances informed him, hey, you can't do this. And he got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the circumstance, onto the storm. And the Bible says when that happened, fear came in and boom, he began to sink. And he cried out saying, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Why did you doubt? There was no good reason for you to doubt. Amen? Well, but yeah, Pastor, it was stormy. Well, do you think it's easier to walk on water when it's calm? When the weather is bright and sunny and there's no wind at all? Does that have anything to do? Doesn't have anything to do with someone walking on the water. And the circumstances have nothing to do with the promise that God's made to you. Amen. God's promise doesn't change. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that over the past year, when you went to God's Word, that it didn't say, this promise is good except for a year in which there's COVID-19. This promise is good except when the year and where there's a lockdown. This promise is good except in a year when the economy is all in disarray because nobody can go to work. Aren't you glad that you didn't find that in the Bible? Aren't you glad that the Bible didn't change no matter what was going on throughout the year? Amen. It was still the same. It hadn't changed because of the pandemic and the chaos and the fear. Amen. So once we start in faith to obtain a promise, let's don't turn back. Let's don't go back. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So let's review it. So we see that promise from afar. Then we become assured of it. Praise God. Then we embrace it. We make it our own. Amen. Then we confess it, or we confess that we are what the promise says we are. Amen. And then we don't look back. Amen. Amen.